Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Arrahmanirrahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladin an'amta alayhim. Ghayril maghdubi alayhim. Walad-dallin. I seek refuge with Allah against the rejected enemy, Shaitan. With the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, the Lord and cherisher of the world. Most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment, thee do we worship and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath, those who go not astray. Amen. I bear witness there is no God except Allah. Highly glorified is he, the heavens and the earth, and all between. No partners have he. And I bear witness Muhammad, of 1445 Ramadan, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is Allah's servant and messenger, and the seal of the prophethood. I greet you and us with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum. And welcome to this evening session of Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360 Islamic Radio, the number one listening radio station in the nation. And I am your host, the Preetha Abdul Hadi, servant of Allah, highly glorified is he, El Hadi, the guide. And as always, we open with hugs and love to you. Come on now, let's squeeze, give a big squeeze, because it's a blessing to be here. Oh, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, squeeze me tight, and I'm squeezing your back tight. Yes, darling, I love you dearly. Yes, yes, I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you feel my love to you, and I am certainly feeling your love back to me. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Well, we're in the last ending of the seventh month of the Islamic calendar, Rajab. And today is the 29th day of Rajab, 1445, on the Hijra calendar, and February 10th, 2024, on the Gregorian calendar. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all with good health and prosperity in this year, 2024 and forward. And just a note that if any of us are stressed or stressing over any or in any matter, our motto for this year is let it go. In 2024, utilizing the Quran, and you will see we will be stress-free. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Tonight, in lieu of the American, Black, and Ethnic History Month, we're going to read the introduction from a book of one of our scholarly imams, leader, and author in the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And, of course, my dear friend, Imam Yahya Shabazz, entitled New Leadership into the 21st Century. I will also read an article of vital importance for us as coffee drinkers. We intend to try to get to that last week, but we had such a vibrant program from our listeners last week, we didn't get to it. So, inshallah, we'll get to it this week. Alhamdulillah. And without any other delay, Like we asked about our health. We pray Allah bless us all, just take care of us and bless us to take care of ourselves better, inshallah. Listening to Alice Simon Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, the number one Islamic radio in the station. The number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. I am your host, the preacher Abdul Hadi, and we're going to take our pause for our public service announcement and very important information. We ask you to sit tight and keep sight. We'll be right back, inshallah.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. We're going to read, I'm just going to read the introduction to his book by Imam Yahya Shabazz. And inshallah, he has agreed to come on the program very near future, very, very near future. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, and thank Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, for that. But until then, I thought we would have enough time to perhaps just go through the just the introduction portion of his book. New Leadership in the 21st Century. Shall Allah bless us to be able to get through this, and we have a pretty good program this evening, inshallah. And, you know, at any time, want to press one, you know that you can. And I want to appreciate you all so kindly for being here this evening, here in the studio, and those of you out there in AM 360 studio land. Can you hold just one moment? Hold on just one moment. Here, let me get this here. You know, when you get started, then it's always something coming up, but I'm going to try my best to let him know that I'll call him later. My son, and I'm sure if it's really important, he'll give me a call back. Probably just calling to check on his mom. Alhamdulillah, that's a wonderful thing. So as I was saying, I'm going to read from read the introduction from his book, New Leadership into the 21st Century. I'm going to read his introduction by Yahya Shabazz. I wanted to say something. Let me see. Hold on. Imam Yahya Shabazz, for those of you that don't know, has been active in every phase of the movement for human dignity for the African American community. He has served as a foot soldier and in a leadership position. As a matter of fact, also, as you all probably can remember, he also was a part of AM360 radio, the revolutionary and creative thought with the Imam Kareem Hamid at one time right here on AM360. Alhamdulillah. So starting with his introduction here of this book, Imam W.D. Muhammad said in a public address, this is the introduction by Imam Yahya Shabazz to his book entitled New Leadership in the 21st Century. Imam W.D. Muhammad said in a public address, words make people. I believe that a word can be anything that leaves an impression on the mind of human society, be it spoken, acted out, or whatever form it may take. All creation is to be seen as a word. According to scripture, all creation is here as a result, spoken word, of a word spoken by God. Well, we know Allah. So again, we say, words make people. If we can go deeper and look at the mind of the human being and look at what kinds of words go into the mental makeup of a person, we then can get a better picture of what forms the character of that person. We must understand that our physical construction only acts as a vehicle that transports the mind, the real person. So just to view the physical makeup of a person is not really seeing that person at all. It is the ideas, the activities, the words, etc., that come from that person's mind that help us see the real person. So now we can see the importance of understanding a word like leader. A person that leads or has commanding influence or authority over others. What he says a leader is, a person that leads or has commanding influence or authority over others. The director, the director conductor or guide. Or one who has the genuine well-being of the people as his primary concern. Now the other part of leadership is ship. The state, condition, or quality of something. art, skill of office. So now, we see that not only do we still need leaders, but also we must have leaders that have the best interests of the people at heart. Let me move up a little bit here so that perhaps I hope everyone is hearing me well. Oh, it's been a day, I tell you, alhamdulillah, but it's all good now. If I don't get excited, it's all good. If you're not hearing me, if you need me to speak up a little bit more, please press one and let me know. Alhamdulillah, I'm good. Alhamdulillah. So that person must have the best interest of the people at heart. Leaders with the vision, the wisdom, knowledge, and the integrity to know when to stay or to change courses. So that not only will they be able to get the people to the next level, but will also give the people the knowledge so that they may guide themselves through the rough waters of society. When we talk about leadership, we should understand that for the subject to even come up, there has to be something lacking in the minds of the people in terms of where we as a people or as a society want to go and how we are going to reach the goals we have set for ourselves. So they lie. Leadership is a word that is part of our everyday vocabulary. We use it, however, without understanding its significance, as we do with many of the words in the English language, some of which are very important and carry with them profound meanings. Unfortunately, we use them so loosely, and in many cases, the true meanings have faded completely out of our everyday use. Words like honor, dignity, integrity, etc., etc. For the masses, for the most part, are rarely incorporated into our everyday language. These types of words can mold and shape the character of a person in terms of their positive development. However, when they are not used or understood, or have been lost or stolen, then the whole society loses. And remember, we're talking about when Imam War of Deen Muhammad, may Allah bless him with paradise, has said, words make people. Understanding that. In today's society, we hear some foolish people, making the statement, I don't need a leader, or I follow myself. Yeah, I've heard that Yeah, I've heard that quite a bit. I'm pretty sure you all have too. I make my own decisions. Yeah, what they say. We must understand that there's not a thought or an idea that we can think of that is our very own. We're influenced by the environment that we live in. We should also realize that this society is not haphazard, but rather very orchestrated. Therefore, many decisions that we make become life-determining. In today's society, we are led to think that all accomplishments have to be material. With this kind of thinking, we can easily see how a person can become so limited in terms of growth and development, and a non-contributor positive development of human society as a whole. Many are influenced by the persuasiveness, many are influenced by the pervasiveness of the media, contrary to what those in the media would have us believe. Is not art mimicking life, but rather it helps to set the trends of life. We see many people with lots of money, but with little or no vision, especially those in the field of entertainment. We see many people with lots of money, but with little or no vision, especially those in the field of entertainment, reach their peak in the early stages of their development and then suddenly crash as a result of the trials of life. Still, others who desire to have these material accomplishments, although they never rise to that level, still see it as their life's goal, and in their quest for it, use illegal methods, which eventually leaves them dead in the streets or locked up behind bars for a good deal of their young lives. Then there are those who continue to struggle to make ends meet, and those who do manage to make it up the higher end of the economic ladder. Too many of these tend to lose their identity because they have been led to believe that the goal for the African American community is voting rights, integration, or material acquisitions. Once these goals are achieved, then the struggle is over. As a consequence of this kind of thinking, we still see ourselves as African Americans at the bottom of society, not only here in America, but wherever we are. It is unfortunate that here in the 21st century, we are still addressing the same problems we were addressing in both the 19th and the 20th centuries. What is even more tragic is that we're still using the same language and the same tactics as well. If one would step aside the situation and look at the moral and mental state of the African-American community and see the old, worn-out tactics our so-called leaders are using, one would conclude that for those who are sincere but just don't know any better, it's a tragedy. But for those who do know better and continue to use their position and celebrity to keep themselves in the limelight, thereby keeping the masses under the control of others, it's a crime against the human family. So the need for new leadership. In no way do we mean to imply that the achievements made by the African American community from the beginning of the 20th century through the early periods of that era and then through the civil rights movement did not have a dynamic or positive effect on the African American community and on the society, the whole society as well. It's not to say that they didn't have a great impact, because they did. When we reflect back on the thinking of the African American community prior to the civil rights, we find great achievement, personal and societal as well. I'm sure many of us can look back over our history during the early periods of the 20th century and recall the personal goals that were set and accomplished by our relatives and family friends. Relatives and family friends. These personal accomplishments within themselves left a lasting, positive impression, not only on those of us who were close to these individuals, but their successes uplifted the entire community as well. We don't know the names of these people, for they were just ordinary folks who were a part of the fabric of their respective communities. And they came from all over the country. They were not well-known heroes, nor were they national leaders. They were just common people who wanted something from life and set out to realize the goals they had set for themselves. Some of these people were school teachers. Some became doctors, nurses. Some set up small mom and pop stores in the community, and some were just fine, upstanding role models that looked after their children and had something positive to impart to the people they lived around with. As stated before, these were not nationally known individuals, but they set up the tone for positive community life. Those were in the professions made us stand and be proud as a community because of the accomplishments they made. We look to them as representatives of the best we had to offer. Today, we might wonder, what is it that made these accomplishments so wonderful and so great? We say to ourselves, these are just regular professions that anybody can just learn. And anytime, anywhere. As a people, we should never forget our history and the struggles of our people, because these accomplishments, however small they may seem to us today, were major accomplishments back in those days. We realize that just at the turn of the century, we were just coming up from physical slavery, where it was capital law for an African American to even read a book or anything, not to mention teach others of the race to read. Most of us lived in abject poverty, and in most cases, it took everything we could make and scrape just to make ends meet. But nevertheless, we had a sense of value, and we still possessed a sense of pride and dignity that were brought over with us from the motherland. So with that kind of thinking, we sacrificed and saved a portion of whatever money we had and made sure that someone in the family went on to get higher education. And once that person made it, he then reached back and helped other family members. This was also the period of Jim Crowism, the unwritten law that allowed white people to murder and torture blacks whenever they thought the blacks might be making some progress. And everybody, we know that's the truth. We can look over I know, what is that, Oklahoma, when we were doing great as a people, and I know many of you know this, but don't forget we do have some of the youngsters on the line that don't know, Anusha Hatters. I know seasoned believers and Muslims and people that been about, we know about it, but these youngsters, some of them don't even have never heard of it. And I'm told somewhere in Florida as well that something we had going on in terms of progress for the African American or black people as well. A white lynch mob would make frequent raids throughout the black community for the sole purpose of intimidation. Yep. They would drag a black man or a black woman from their homes and take them out and kill them. Yeah. Not because these people had committed a crime or done something wrong at all, but this terrible act was done many times for the sole purpose of striking fear into the hearts of the blacks, so they would think twice before trying to climb the ladder of human dignity. You know, I'm just going to stop right here and make this quick commentary. And right today, in the 21st century, we still have blacks. They don't want to get up trying to get too smart. They don't even want to read a book. Lord knows they're not going to write anything on a daily basis. And I'm pretty sure that things that had taken place of such have a lot of thinking in their minds today. You know, what's the point? Why should I read anything? Why should I be trying to write anything? Why? And I say to them, because remember again, it was against the law at one time for African American black people to even pick up a book and try to read. And today, we got not all of them. We have some professionals that are in the teaching profession. And I had one to say to me, I give them some literature to read. And they said, oh, you can keep the literature. Because when I leave this classroom, I don't want to read anything. Now, that's what this professional, this was in the profession of teaching, said to me. And I was like, wow, I could not believe it. And I know that not all teachers of people of these types of professions are feeling this way. But you see, you still got them. Don't have anything really of their mind or in their heart in terms of the struggle for our people. Mm-mm. I'm just going to do what I got to do and get my check. That's it. You know, and so it says, like when it was saying right here, when the Caucasian people, white people, they called them back then, the Caucasians, would take out a black man or woman and kill them to put fear into the others in the community. We can see that. That type of thinking of them would put fear. And you don't want to do any more than what you have to do. And in this case, to keep your bills paid under the law. Even in the courts, properties owned by blacks were taken for little or no reason. And, you know, I hear that, you know, and I know for a fact in families that had, I mean, huge acreages of land. And when the youngsters of those older people that died out had no type of, connection or understanding or insight, or maybe it was then just one of those situations where, again, in the 21st century, the courts were finding ways to take the properties owned by blacks. Maybe. And maybe it was just the blacks having no connection and no understanding and no care about our progress in this country, because they have no faith in the country, in this country. But we still have to strive. We still have to strive. We can't, you know, we can't just go on and just say, well, oh, they done this and they did that and they taken this and they taken that. And, you know, I know it hurts your heart, because just to read information, just to, as a reminder, how it's been. And some people, oh, we got it going on now as a people. We got the Oprahs and all the folks like them, and the Jordans and all of these people. What are them other folks? I can't think of many of them, but you know what I'm talking about. Oh yeah, they got big dollars. They drive big fine cars and homes worth millions of dollars. Oh yeah, they believe we done really made it. You got even some of them say, "Ooh, I wish I had their money." Not even realizing it really ain't their money, nor their properties. They just renting them, because if they say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing, trust, it will be taken away. I'm going to stop right there and let me see if we have, I'm going to stop right there, okay? I'm going to put it right there. I know we got to take a break. Let me see where we at, where we at. Yes. Okay, you know that we are listening to Alice Lyman Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. I am your host, Rita Abdul Hadi, and we're going to take our pause for our public service announcement and very important information. As always, we ask you to sit tight, keep sight. We'll be right back, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dapreeta Hadi, host of Alice Lyman Focus Learning Lab, here on AM 360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Well, alaikum assalam, and thank you kindly as well. And we are back, and I do see you, 347, and I'll be right with you. I appreciate everyone being here. And to you in the studio, and of course to those out there in am360.org land, if you want to... if you have a comment or a question that you would like to ask or share, then you're going to need to dial in, and you're going to do that by dialing 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253 and press 1, and we'll make sure that we open your mic and give you that opportunity to say what is at your heart and mind. We want to encourage everyone to connect to our 24-hour live and podcast programming here on am360.org or 701-719-4197. And visit our Parent Cooperation Community-Wide Shura Conference at cwsc.us. Yes, that is us. And check out that website, get more information about CWSC and its intelligentsias. You can give us a like on Facebook or leave us a listener comment at 910-317-0297. And remember, however you choose to connect with us, we look forward to hearing from you, and we certainly do appreciate you coming. Alhamdulillah. Before we get back to the reading, we're going to take our caller, and then we will continue. And I appreciate you so kindly for your patience. 347-751. Welcome, and state your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Mahasan Abdul.
We love you, darling, and thank you, Kenny. Good to hear from you.
Well, all praises due to Allah, Sister Dupreeta. I'm happy when my mind and my time coordinate for me to check in at your program time, because it is stimulating vehicle for thought and deep thinking, using that intelligentsia inclination to look at the things that are confronting us and build solutions together. So I appreciate you so much, and particularly in today's presentation, your moderating and reading, is you have a very unique pace at which you are imparting this significant information contained in the book on the leadership for the 21st century. And it is having an extremely therapeutic effect. I must share with you that you're leaving and reading at a pace that allows us to reflect along with the information and use our discerning capacities, which the human mind and intellect has been gifted with. And it leads us to an arena of productivity that is unparalleled. And specifically speaking to that, I'm inspired to write, develop essays from topics that come to my mind. One on American terrorism. Wonder what we could discover about the practice and effects upon the evolution of the African Americans' advancement and transformation. What would we find? As a reading specialist, I'm also inspired to create some presentations calling them Racing to Read with Breakneck Speed, and discuss the impact of the smartphone usage as a scheme to dumb down the natural excellence of the human intellect. Also, the real goal of artificial intelligence, is it meant to artificialize or illuminate the thinking process and productivity? Are we hardwired to read? How do we connect with messaging conveyed in our environment that enhances the literacy capacity? And at the end, I have a request. Is it possible for you to invite Imam Yahya Shabazz to be a guest on your outstanding Al-Islam in Focus program so that we, your listeners and readers, could interact directly on a question and answer basis with him? Is that possible?
He has agreed to come on the 24th of this month.
Ah, beautiful.
Yes, ma'am. So okay. I'm totally excited as well. I'm so excited. And he'll be here. He'll be here, inshallah. Yeah, he did agree.
Okay. So, inshallah, I want to thank you again and tell you how much I do love you. Got my hugs today. Thank you. And look forward to continued listening on AM 360 and to your reading today. Thank you, dear.
You're so welcome, my dear love, and thank you so kindly. And I love you dearly. And I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there and call you. You know this.
You know what life is all about, girl. It just keeps us moving. But I do appreciate you so kindly for being here. When you can get here, anytime. And
I'm
just one and shift.
Thank you.
Under the law. You're more than welcome. I'm going to put you in the mute, and you know the way it goes. You can always press one and come back.
Thank you, honey. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Okay, anytime, you know, anyone can press one, and whenever you, you know, want to, and I do appreciate everyone. And I told you all out there in am360.org land, you can do the same. You know, I've given you that number, and I know you know it, so I'm not going to repeat it again right now, but I will in our next PSA, inshallah. We're going to get back here because I got another really important article I want to read for us. If you missed it, it's for us coffee drinkers and very important information on that. Alhamdulillah. I see what my grip is coming in. But you know what? I thank Allah for he always, when you ask him to give you a better understanding of how to do things, and he'll give it to you. Just seek and ask. And so the information came to me because I said, well, you know, when the prayer call come up, I don't want to have any disrespect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the fact that the prayer is coming in. But you all, we all know as seasoned Muslims, that we, seasoned shahadas, we shared it many times with the new shahadas as well, that we can take our maghrib and isha and put them together. And so, you know, that's what I do since my program is on at that time. And I found out, you know, it's not disrespect if I'm in a program and I do continue to speak. So alhamdulillah, because some people have already had their maghrib, you know, and it's just because the different portions of where we're living at will make that determination, you know. So alhamdulillah, I'm so thankful to Allah for giving me that information because I would never want to be disrespectful, you know, to the fact that the prayer call is being made. So we're going to get back to the reading, and we're reading this beautiful introduction from our leader and scholarly Imam Yahya Shabazz, and the community of Imam Debbie Dean Muhammad. New leadership into the 21st century. And we're only going to do the introduction this evening. And when he comes on, yay, I know, you know, he's going to lay it out for us. So we're definitely looking forward to that. And I was so excited when he agreed to come on. And I'm thinking, oh, Allah, you're so good to us. Alhamdulillah. So and we were talking about how it's been how the Caucasian people and even in the courts, properties owned by blacks were taken for little money if they got any or just for no reason. Just take the land. And how the youngsters that come in possession of many acreages of land, how they have no connection into the fact in their thinking. And remember, that's what we were talking about from the very beginning when Imam Yahya Shabazz referenced Imam Debbie Dean Muhammad is saying, words make people, you know. So they had even no connection to the importance of their holding on to the land,
even if they had to scuffle and borrow to pay if it were taxes or something, whatever it was, that they just let the land go and with no remorse about it. And now I still hear us today talking about how we need to acquire a property, land. If we don't teach these youngsters when we get the land this day in the 21st century coming forward, guess what? We'll be moving. They might acquire it in the 21st century, and they'll lose it by the 22nd century. You know, so inshallah, we're blessed. So we were talking about how the courts, they took the land for sometime no reason. And in many cases, African-American businesses were burned to the ground without even so much as an investigation from law enforcement. And, you know, I think about there was a sister. She was from Detroit, and some of you may know her. Her name was Sister Mary Muhammad. I believe her first name was Mary, and I know her last name was Muhammad. I had the absolute blessing of sitting in her company, and at the time, well, you know, she's returned to Allah now, because at the time, I believe she was like about 90 then, and we were in conversations, and we got to talking about Dr. King and many things that were taking place, and she would say it would just boil her blood. And I really truly connected with her when she said that, because that is exactly what happens when you read and be reminded of how we were treated and still today are treated as African-American, black people, ethnic people are treated. Remember, this is the Black History Month, you know. And so, and that's what prompted me to read from this introduction of the book, New Leadership in the 21st Century. That's what prompted me to do this. And so it does. It boils my blood. It does. It boils my blood when I'm reading here and being reminded, though even, and I know some of you may have, and I know some of you, and surely the young lady just got off Sister Mahasan's dear heart, I could just imagine that she has to have seen some of these things myself. I can remember as a little girl when, you know, the I would call them Klansmen. All of them were Klansmen, even though they didn't have the white sheet. They were Klansmen because they broke into the temple for no reason. And they held guns on us. And they taken the brothers, and they fought the brothers, beat the brothers, and then taken them out into the woods and things, and continued to beat them and leave them for dead. It hurts so bad. It hurts so bad. Yes, it does. But you know, I say Allah, you know, and we know not. Alhamdulillah. Let me go here because we do have this dear heart returning, Mahasan Abdul Salam, 347. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Dupreeza, you really touched right now on something that I'm sure other than just yourself and myself has percolated through the history of the challenges that we have faced, especially during the time of migration out of the South, where we were looking for freedom and escape from an enslaved environment. One that was, like they say, going around in circles, right? Mm-hmm. And the unfortunate circumstances befalling us, no matter how hard we tried to escape them. And I remember as a teenager when my parents
were very interactive with us, telling us about their history. Because I always wanted to know, why did you leave the South? And you never let me go back to visit my grandparents during the summertime. That was a tradition in our family development, as we always would go back and connect with our history. And I realized that the loss of my uncle, my mother's youngest brother, after he returned from World War II, he disappeared. He went out to pursue work and et cetera. He disappeared and never came back, okay? So they instituted an intentional desire to share home ownership in our family. And I remember with my father exercising the GI Bill, how he called our family together, and he and my mother said, we have a plan. We're going to go into military housing on a base in San Francisco where the rent was only $25 a month. Can you imagine? In 1960, $25 a month. And they said, we're going to stay there for 1 year's time while we save for a down payment on a GI Bill house. And he said, the reason why we're telling it, it's a little different environment than you are accustomed to have you living in. And we need for you to be on your best behavior and retain the principles of behavior that we have raised you with, so there's no change. And we took it as an honorable challenge. And the five of us, only 1 year apart, all five of us, we committed to satisfying the request of our parents. We made it with no incidents, et cetera. And at the end of that year, they were able to close the deal, put the down payment, and we moved into our first home, 3-bedroom, 30 miles away in the Palo Alto community, and where a number of former GIs were exercising their GI Bill rights. And we built a wonderful community there. I thank Allah for the outcome of the diligence, due diligence that we went through, and Allah protected us. So those options are still available for us to do, but we have to exercise what I think was the asset of my parents. You have to plan your work and work your plan. Inshallah.
Right.
Overcome
Inshallah.
Thank you. I'll stop right there, dear.
Wa alaikum assalam. And thank you again so kindly, Sister Mahasan. And I appreciate you. I appreciate you greatly. And I'll go ahead on and I'll put you into the mute, and you know you can always come back. You're always welcome.
Thank you, dear. Thank
you. You're welcome. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Okay. Now, these are examples or these examples are just the tip of the iceberg in terms of the obstacles faced by African Americans here in America. So when our people were able to succeed in those days, we considered it a success for the whole community. Even though we had less in terms of material goods to work with, we were not lacking in spirit or the knowledge of our human worth, and these are what propelled us on to succeed against great odds. As we reflect back upon the era, we also see people who were great leaders shouldered the task of responsibility to help keep that spirit of courage and dignity alive in the minds of the people. With the memory of physical slavery still fresh in our minds, our people still hear the far-reaching voice of the great Frederick Douglass calling upon America to release the yoke of slavery that was holding our people back from the life of human dignity that Allah, highly glorified as he, had meant for all people to have. Then there was Marcus Garvey, Mary MacLeod Bethune, Carter G. Woodson, and the African American press that helped to set the climate for positive thinking in the Black community. Perhaps the two major voices that came along at that time were the voices of Booker T. Washington and W.E.B. Du Bois. These two giants stood front and foremost in the African American community, pointing in the direction of the progress of life. While Booker T. Washington favored academic, agriculture, and industrial training as methods to bring us to a level of equal footing with others, W.E.B. Du Bois chose the philosophy and agitation to bring America face to face with the injustices faced by her Black citizens at the hands of white Americans. As we came to the era of civil rights, most of us who were directly involved knew that period as the struggle for human rights. As African Americans, we have always been aware of our civic responsibility. We fought America's wars. We paid taxes in some parts of the country. We even served in political positions. And the list goes on. But when it came time to be respected as a member of the human family, America fell short. Floyd McKissick, Brother Kwame Ture, Reverend Ralph Abernathy, John Lewis, and the rest of those who led the masses stepped up to their plate of responsibility. This time again, we see two great leaders whose voices were heard above the others, pointing the direction for the African American community. Dr. Martin Luther King, with his philosophy of agitation and his call on the consecutive and his call on the conscience of America to give fair treatment to her Black citizens, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, with his philosophy of dignity and self-respect through doing for self. It was through their leadership that the world found out about the unjust treatment the African American community was receiving at the hands of white America. It was through the use of protests, marches, demonstrations led by Dr. King and the help of the news media that the eyes of the world came to be focused on America and the cruel and inhuman treatment of Black Americans. So we as African Americans were denied our civil rights, not because we didn't serve America, but because we were looked upon as lesser human beings. So the struggle was for our human respectability. Somehow, as the movement progressed, this message got lost, and our vision of the goal got blurred. Suddenly, we found ourselves marching to be able to sit next to someone at a lunch counter or live in a neighborhood next door, white people, or force someone to hire us for their business. We fought. We forgot that everything we were asking others to do for us, we had already been doing for ourselves just a very few years before. Originally, all we wanted as a people was that the laws that were already on the books protect us the same way as they protected others, and the rest we could do for ourselves. As new laws were written for minorities and put on the books, it seemed that everyone has benefited from them, except us as a people. Others have taken these laws, used them to improve their lives and their lives for their loved ones, while we as a people are just like the lame man in biblical scripture, waiting by the pool for the water to be troubled, so that someone can help us, so that we may be healed. Water is the spiritual sense. Water in this scripture represents the human sentiments of society that we depend on to do for us what we can do for ourselves. Oh, we are like Lazarus, who sat by the rich man's table waiting for the crumbs to fall. Or even Jonas, who stole away on the ship and went to sleep next to all the cargo or material wealth on the ship. The ship is symbolic of America. Remember, we were talking about the ship when we got started here, we were talking about leadership when Imam Yahya Shabazz was talking about leadership, and I was saying words, and we say them loosely, and we don't even recognize the connection that it really is for us and to us. So he says the ship is symbolic of America. While others have taken advantage of the laws that were responsible for bringing into existence, that we were responsible for bringing into existence, we seem to be stuck in the period of protest and demonstrations. And instead of using those laws to improve ourselves, we have made begging and protesting a way of life. Our so-called leaders have seized on our tragic situation and have used it to keep themselves gainfully employed. I do not believe that this was the vision of Dr. King. In fact, I believe that he would be quite disturbed if he was here to witness the outrageous activities of those who claim to carry on his leadership. I believe that the work that was accomplished by Dr. King was his contribution to the progress of the African American community and ultimately to the total society, because his life was a benefit to the world. However, we are not to view him as the ultimate leader, as we were led to believe. The King had a part to play. He did his work. And now it's time for us to move on to the next level. We always want to remember his contributions and the contributions of all our ancestors. But we don't want to get caught up in sentimental memory. But then our progress stops. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, with his program of dignity, self-respect, and doing for self, was also at that time a very powerful and influential leader. While the media gave the praise to Dr. King for his stand on nonviolent tactics and highlighted integration more so than human rights, which was the real goal of the movement, they presented the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as a teacher of hate, thereby turning the attitude of many blacks against him. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was taught by Farad Muhammad, who introduced him to Islamic faith. Although this was not the true religion of Al-Islam, the Marcus Garvey movement also influenced the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as well. So with this philosophy of pride, dignity, and independent thinking he had for Black America, it is little wonder why the powers that he sought to turn blacks away from Elijah Muhammad by misrepresenting teachings. Ironically, this idea of doing for self was put in the atmosphere by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And today we see it alive and well in use by many of those who rejected his philosophy back in the day. With the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King and the passing of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the world looked on in wonder and pondered the question, who will they turn to now? Who will pick up the banner of leadership for the black man now? Suddenly, in stepped Imam W.D. Muhammad. Now, see there again. You see how that's so, it just touched your heart so, it just, alhamdulillah. Suddenly, in stepped Imam W.D. Muhammad with a new language and a new vision for progress. This progress is not only for the African-American community, but it's to be an example for world progress. World progress, isn't that beautiful? Imam W.D. Muhammad is the only leader on the scene today that uses obedience to Allah, to God, along with the example of Prophet Muhammad and the courage of the ancestors to advance the whole of mankind. He is the only leader we see on the national scene today that is calling on African America to reach deep within ourselves and tap our own human potential and use it to improve ourselves and our loved ones. It is then when we have others. It is then when we have accomplishments, as do others, that will garner the respect of others. His leadership is not based so much on the tangibles, such as focusing on issues like black and white, as was done back in the 60s. Rather, his method is to teach us how to identify this new and more powerful kind of slavery that gives the appearance of freedom. Uh-huh. But in reality, it's the worst kind of slavery. It is the kind of slavery that we enjoy and rush headlong into. But in the end, it breeds ignorance, destruction, and destitution. So a leader would not only have to have vision, but moral vision, and possess a deep and genuine concern for the well-being of the people. Also, that leader has to see all people as his people. Above all, that leader has to be a servant of God. A study of the pattern of conduct, both private and public, and will identify such a leader. A true leader has to be able to read the signs or the aspects in the society and also teach those who follow him to be able to do the same. A true leader does not want to lord it over the people and have them focus on him as their savior, but rather he teaches them as much as he can. I'm telling y'all right now, it brings tears to me. Holding back nothing, therefore giving the people the power and the mastery over themselves, the wisdom and the knowledge to be able to guide themselves, their families, and their communities to true freedom. With this method, we can see why he cannot be bought and sold or intimidated by this society. Imam Muhammad is the leader of the American Society of Muslims and is respected as a renowned leader around the world. It is this leadership that is setting the pace for human society. New leadership in the 21st century gives direction to not only finding the answer to true freedom, justice, and equality, but it points to the real goal that we all should be striving for, and that is the goal of human excellence. And that, my dear listeners, and I do appreciate you so kindly, that is the introduction to our scholarly leader and teacher and author, Imam Yahya Shabazz, New Leadership into the 21st Century. And as I said in the beginning of the program, we would be honored with his presence coming up in the very near future. As a matter of fact, to make sure that you are here, he has agreed, since it is the ethnic black in African American History Month. He has agreed to come to this program you are hearing right here on Alice Fineman Focus Learning Lab, February the 24th. Let me see. I think it's the 24th. Let me make sure now. I don't want to get it all mixed up here. I believe it is, though, but I'm just going to make sure. Yes, 7 and 7, 14. It's the 24th. Well, inshallah. Blessed to be. And we look forward to hearing from him, alhamdulillah. Okay, with that, everyone, we're going to go here and take our pause for our public service announcement and very important information. And as you know, you are listening to Alice Lyman Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. I am your host, Dapreetha Abdul Hadi, and we're going to take our pause for our public service announcement and very important information, and we ask you to sit tight, keep sight. We'll be right back, inshallah.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Patricia Nitma Muhammad of Eyes on Our Community, asking you to join me in supporting CWSC and American Muslim 360 with your tax-deductible gift. Log on today at CWSC.us and click on the donate button or call in your pledge at 910-317-0297. Help build a national intelligentsia and let's keep American Muslim 360 strong and ready to remake the world. Thank you.
Wa alaikum assalam. And again, we do appreciate everyone for being here in the studio as well as out there in AM360.org land. And you know that if you're at AM360.org land and you want to make a comment or ask a question, you're going to need to dial in at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253 and press 1. We'll certainly recognize you and give you that opportunity to share what you're thinking or your heart is wanting to share with us. Connect to our 24-hour live and podcast programming at am360.org, or you can dial in at 701-719-4197. You can give us a tweet at CWShura. You can give us a like on Facebook or leave us a listener comment at 910-317-0297. And remember, however you choose to connect with us, we look forward to hearing from you, and we certainly do appreciate you, Kaini. Okay, I'm going to go here to our return caller, 347. Sister Mahasin, assalamu alaikum once again, and welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam. And thank you, Sister Dupreeta. I'm telling you, you're committing this to our memories, putting it in our souls. Reading this introduction has truly been inspiring today. In fact, the more we listen, the more we ponder, well, how can I be more productive in retaining this history and passing it along? And you know what I came up with, and I wanted to know what you thought about it. I could see into the curriculum of not only the Clara Muhammad school system for our students of middle school age and high school age, committing an option like this introduction to memory, that being a part of the requirement, the curriculum requirement in studying and preserving our history. You know, when we were in school, that was some time ago, right? When we were in school, our intellect was tested and promoted commit to memory by heart, learning by heart significant elements of the curriculum. And I remember it, for me personally, it inspired me as a student to retain information that somehow contributed to my understanding, development, and growth as a student. And Allah blessed me to evolve in that way just by committing, like the Declaration of Independence, to memory. I can still remember it today. But I can hear at our event inviting our youth to come and be a part of the program, and they would recite this information committed to memory so that everyone in attendance could enjoy that Allah was blessing us to preserve our history, to preserve our knowledge, and to have it inherited by our children so that it never dies, inshallah. So what do you think of that?
I think that would be excellent, because you know today, Mahasan, with the technology, and we do love that we've grown so much in technology as a people, but it has taken away our, I don't know if it's our desire or it's taken away from us to actually try and remember something. Because why you got to remember it? All you got to do is say, hey, give me so-and-so and so, and they'll bring it up, you know, with the Google, with the phone, you know. And so that sort of, you know, keeps us from saying, well, wait a minute now. Let me remember this. Even phone numbers. I can remember the time I knew people's phone numbers, if they license plate numbers, or their house addresses, and technology.
I
gotta remember it.
The challenge of keeping it in memory expands the capacity of the memory.
Yes.
So that now all we have to do is tap on a button, it presents no challenge to our mind to operate as it was created to operate. We have three sections of the brain, and one of the most important sections is the midbrain, the mammalian brain, right? The one that is developed by Allah with the capacity to retain memories and make connections for meaning. So you're talking about restoring that incentivized desire to hold on to. What if you lose your phone? People lose their phone, and all of that memory is gone. We don't want these laws. So we've got to go back and reactivate, re-expand a natural capacity that was God-given to us. No matter we lose our phone, lose our car, lose our address, no matter what we lose, we can retain that in the comfort of our mind. And
I think that would be excellent if we could, you know, get this put into, like you say, the classrooms, into the society, make it all over the teaching, whether it's Islamic teaching or what have you. We need to get these youngsters back in the sense of using what God can give to us, our own brain, our own mind, you know. We need to get back into the habit of that.
Yes.
So if you don't do it at this point where we're at right now, and they continue on with this, like this technology, like you say, we're going to be really in a bad situation if we go somewhere and lose these tablets or phones or what have you, you know. Yeah, I certainly agree.
Haven't they been warning us about a time that they're expecting? They keep throwing that out when all of the infrastructure, technological infrastructure, will suffer a breakdown. It will disappear. What will we do then? What will we retain that will go on to continue our productivity as a human species? This is a critical question we need to be asking. Our children, our progeny, are the vehicles to preserve that beyond the extension of technology. What if everything Allah causes it to disappear except that which is retained in the human nature?
Right. Yes, ma'am.
To be scared. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree, Dr. Mahasin Abdul Salam. I certainly agree.
I hear you calling me doctor, but you know what? I'm of this mind. We can be anything that Allah has created the capacity. And if we, you're so kind, because that it makes me feel good that you are honoring this sharing to that extent. But if we do this collectively, we will be so enriched and so capacitated to do more. All we want is the opportunity, by Allah's grace, to do more and be more. Inshallah.
Inshallah. Yes, ma'am. I certainly agree. I certainly agree. Yes, ma'am. And I certainly do appreciate you coming.
I'm doing that.
Ma'am.
Love
you. Okay.
Love you so.
I'm going to put, did you have some other to say, or? I was going to put you in mute.
Please put me in mute.
Well, you know, I try to get a few minutes in here for you. Okay. All right, my love. I'm going to put you in mute, and I'm going to go on over here to our next program. Thank you so kindly, Sister Mahasin. Sorry to say Dr. Mahasin again. You sure you don't have a doctor's? You do have a doctor's. You got doctor's.
Yes. Number one, I'm going into, inshallah, in the summer, a doctorate program associated with the UN. And the outcome of that, inshallah, will be acquiring an ambassadorship status and the developing globally women's organizations that promote what the Quran emphasizes, and that's women who press to the issue, the Mujaddala principle. And inshallah, it's my desire to establish that on a local, national, and global level, even locally in the community, just women to be endowed to retain that God created their role of talk about leadership in the world, starting with the family. She's the one to whom life is given exclusively from God's hand to her womb. That's where life goes, and she nurtures it. She has all the equipment to nurture it and bring it into existence, live birth. So we need that experience shared. And, inshallah, inspire the women of the world. We just got the dissolution of a primary option of freedom for women here in American government, right? Their rights have been diminished so strategically that it caused quite a bit of this despondency in the female gender population. And those who don't know, like our mothers told us, our value as women, it is as though it exists in their mentality. So we have to re-educate, reverberate, right? Mm-hmm. Restore this natural birthright for both mm-hmm. genders. And so the men can be all that they can be, and the women can be all that they can be, and the world will experience coming into a right protection and projection, and humanity can soar. So we're keeping ourselves focused on that. Please keep me in your dua, and thank you for that little title. It means so much to me. Inshallah, Allah will bless me to grow in degrees, his degrees, earning.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, ma'am. And we look, alhamdulillah, and we pray Allah give you the help and the strength and all the sources and resources that you need to make it happen. Yes. And we look forward to it.
Inshallah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, my dear.
Okay, alhamdulillah. You know, as I said earlier, I had an article. You know, we were going to read the article last week for us coffee drinkers. And why don't we just maybe check and see just how far we might be able to get into the article? Because it's really seriously important, I'm going to tell you, because you know, our blood pressure, some of us deal with blood pressure situations, and like myself, I do, and coffee, and but yet we still love coffee, right? But I want to read this article, and we'll get as far as we can get on it, about 8 signs that you've had enough coffee for a day, for that particular day. Because do you know some people drink 2, 3, even 4 cups of coffee a day? You know, for whatever their reason, if it's just that they like coffee or it gives them that energy, what they're thinking or what have you, it can also have a side effect, if you would, or on a person drinking too much of it. So I'm going to go over and I'm going to try to give us a little insight of this, and we might be able to get to these 8 particular signs, if you would, that would let us know, okay, enough is enough for today, okay? So we're going to start out, and this article is about our health, and I know we need to look out for our health. I'm telling you. Seriously, I had a situation just this week, so I know what we need to do. So we're going to look at the 8 signs that let you know that you've had enough coffee for that day, for today. The first sign is you'll have insomnia, and I know many of you probably already have already thought in your mind, oh, I know that, because sometimes you know that coffee will keep you up according to the caffeine. You probably already guessed this side effect of coffee, of caffeine. If you like drinking coffee more than once a day, you may think twice about getting a second cup after 3 o'clock p.m. Unless you're planning to go to a party, they say party, but you know, you might want to go to Tabari prayer. I'm just saying, y'all, you know what I'm saying? So it doesn't always have to be a party that night, you know. It says, studies have shown that a normal-sized cup of coffee in the afternoon increases the amount of time your body needs to fall asleep. And if you're older than 60 years old, you can also experience a decrease in sleep during the night. What can you do? Well, if you have the love of, in the taste of coffee and don't drink it only because it has become a habit, alternate coffee and tea. I'm not going to even
comment on that, okay? Because if you're anywhere like myself, if you like coffee, you like coffee. And please, do not give me decaffeinated coffee, okay? I figure if I'm going to drink coffee, I want to drink coffee, real coffee. And as far as I'm concerned, decaffeinated coffee is not coffee. But they're saying you can consider to alternate coffee and tea, you know, to cut down on your intake of the coffee and perhaps be able to bypass the insomnia that the caffeine would give you. But now you know some tea got caffeine in it too. It says now, but be careful and don't consume black tea and coffee one after the other. Both of them contain caffeine. Even if the black tea contains only a small amount compared to a regular cup of espresso. Furthermore, you can also get decaf. Did I just say by decaf? But be mindful, because a lot of the selections are not completely caffeine-free, and most of them contain around 7 milligrams per cup. Okay. Number two, signs that you know you've had enough coffee for the day. Increased heartbeat. There is no surprise that caffeine, you know, it's something that just came to my mind, too, when you're talking about this. Now, I've been adding coffee for about 4 days, but they say there is no surprise that caffeine is not recommended for people who suffer from arterial hypertension, because caffeine's stimulant properties could make your heart beat more quickly than normal. Furthermore, it may cause atrial fibrillation on the abnormal pulse rhythm linked to young adults who regularly consume energy drinks or more than 2 cups of coffee per day. However, if you're reticent to believe this information, you still must be aware of your daily intake of caffeine. Despite the fact that there are a lot of people who don't seem to have this issue, it's better to stay as cautious as possible to avoid any side effects. You know what? This came to my thinking here when we're talking about this caffeine, and I think I am actually experiencing this. Now, I've not drank the coffee, but I tell you what I do drink. I like to drink Coke. You know, I ain't talking about nothing, you know, like other stuff. You know, I like white Coke, y'all. I'm only kidding. I'm only having fun here. Speaking of like Coca-Cola, and I imagine it could be any drink, any soda, you know. But I do like to drink Coca-Cola. And reading this right now, just talking about this caffeine, you know it's caffeine in pops, in soft drinks, Cokes and stuff like that. We know that. So it just came to my mind that, it might be some reason for things that I am sort of experiencing. Mm-hmm. So you must be aware of your daily intake of caffeine. Yeah, okay. Okay, we're going to do one more. It's 8 of them, and it's about 7 now. We're going to see how many we can get through. I don't want to press my time here.
Okay. Another sign that will let you know you're drinking. Yeah, okay then. Too much coffee. And that would be the third one would be the headache. Now, we're going to pick up from here, inshallah, next week because they just warned me how much time I have. So I'm not going to press the issue. I'm going to go on and get ready to close down for this evening. I certainly appreciate you all so dearly today. And I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we all have a blessed upcoming week. Bless Juma Mubarak, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the homeless and their children, and bless them, the homeless and those that are in need of food, clothing, and shelter. Bless them, suffice them with what their needs are, and to bring their families to whole. And we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless those that are experiencing any types of illnesses, such as diseases. May Allah please have mercy and bless them with expedient healing, and heal them as though that they never had these illnesses. And we pray, and we say that, Ameen, and we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy on those of our loved ones that have returned to him, and bless them with his mercy in paradise and forgiveness in paradise. And we pray that he bless us as their loved ones with the peace and blessings that we have. We got a caller to be able to get. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us all as those loved ones he left behind, and bless us with peace and patience that he has called our loved ones. I'm going to give this caller just a few minutes here. I'm going to strangle them up, but you know I'm going to be gentle. 314-833, our dear brother Mark Taib, you got 2 minutes.
As-salamu alaykum to you, the priest Abdul Hadi, and to your very astute radio listening audience there, AM360 Radio. This is Mark Shaheed from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah, that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. I'm not going to even use 2 minutes. I'm going to try to do it in 20 seconds. I just wanted to call in to commend you on your production tonight. I've enjoyed it immensely. However, I was looking forward to you completing all 8 of those in terms of caffeine. I want to say one of the things older, not only the caffeine, but the sugar that's in with the caffeine. This makes it very detrimental to our health. And just a point of caution, you have to not only watch the caffeine, but the sugar. I don't know how you drink your coffee, but if it's the way my mother used to drink her coffee, it was a little caffeine in her cream and sugar. And Coca-Cola, I have a sister that has transitioned, and she was addicted to Coca-Cola. So the caffeine is an addiction, too. Just like nicotine in tobacco products. So I caution us to really, really watch that so that we don't become addicted to anything. And if we have to feel like we're compelled to drink coffee sometime, you have to do it in moderation. I'll stop that. I want to go over the time that you set for yourself to be off the air. But I was really looking forward to those 8 things being said.
You know, inshallah, we will pick that up first thing, inshallah, next week. Bless us to return.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, well, thank you so much. I appreciate you greatly. You're doing a great job here on Al-Islam and Focus Learning Lab. Thank you so much. May Allah continue to bless you and us. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam to you, Brother Mark. And everyone knows, and I'm letting you know quickly now, that I almost said Imam Mark Shahi, he will be on IWDM Radio. That number is 714-816-4673 every Tuesday, every Wednesday and Thursday. Go ahead on, Mark Shahi, and give us the time, please.
Yes, ma'am. So the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab happens each and every Wednesday, and that starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And then it's followed by another outstanding production that I host and produce, the MGM Roundtable. That stands for the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, where I'd like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests from inside of our community, which is the community of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad, and also outside of our community, and looking at doing more in 2024. I'll be taking on more topics, inshallah, that are pertinent to us as a community. That happens at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time each and every Wednesday on IWDM Radio, our sister station, and the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, in which my beloved sister, the Priesta Abdul Hadi, helps in terms of engineering so I can stay on the air, of course, where we teach 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship and what constitutes a healthy, harmonious, sacred institution of marriage, and Khalila Akbar, who's also with AM 360 Radio. She's my very distinguished, esteemed co-host, and we are on the True Love Recipe, and we're looking at having another outstanding couple to give a marriage narrative. So you might want to tune in for that. Bring your pen and pad. It's always going to be some noteworthy things said. That starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, it's 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time on IWDM Radio. Once again, the call-in number is 714-816-4673, and we do invite you to press 1 for any questions, comments, or if what the information you get resonating with you. Thank you so much to Priest Hadi giving me this opportunity to make that announcement. I appreciate you greatly, and you're so very kind. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you too, Brother Mark. Okay, and I'm going to, okay, and we got to get this one in here. Imam Kareem Hamid, our station manager here on AM 360. Assalamu alaikum, 636-980. Welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sister Dupreeza Hadi. Praise be to Almighty God. You all always have an excellent broadcast on El Islam in Focus, as this was an excellent broadcast. I want to invite the listening audience to a special town hall meeting that shall be held here on American Muslim 360, Sunday, February 11th at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The subject matter is a growing movement in this country that is titled White Christian Nationalism. White Christian Nationalism. We should have a town hall meeting on that growing subject matter, and the facilitators will be myself, Kareem Hamid, and Brother Fleming El Amin from the American Coalition for Good Government. We invite everyone to attend and participate. This is a town hall meeting where everyone's voice should be heard on this subject matter that is growing inside of our country. Thank you, Mr. Preetham. May Allah continue to bless you and us. We are grateful. We thank Allah for you. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, thank you, my son. And we thank Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, for you as well, Brother Imam Kareem Hamid. And that is tomorrow, right? Sunday at 12?
Yes, ma'am. 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The subject matter is white Christian nationalism. You will hear spokesmen from the Brookings Institute, and also you will hear some Christian theologians speaking on this phenomenon that has gained traction in this country. Thank you, my sister. Mm-hmm. May Allah continue to bless you and us. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, and thank you, dear heart, Brother Imam Kareem Hamid. Thank you all, my guests here in the studio and out there in AM 360 land. Hugs and love to you all as I came to you, and you know we're leaving with hugs and love. And inshallah, bless us with a good night rest and a blessed rising, and bless us all to meet back here this coming Friday from 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on AM 360 Radio. We're going to leave out with our dear sister, Suad El Amin, Billy Shahada.
God is so true. Yeah, he got out there.
And y'all thought I forgot, but I didn't. Hugs and love to you. Have a fantastic evening. Assalamu alaikum. And a fantastic week. Assalamu alaikum.